Looking at what's trending and what's happening on capetalk.co.za on the online section of it is Barbara Friedman with me this morning. And Barbara, we spoke about the seismic politics in South Africa yesterday, and another earthquake hit Itakwini in the Itakwini Council yesterday.
You know, but was it really an earthquake? I know that Regan just read on the news, you know, that the ANC are saying if there were any untoward doings in getting them elected, come show us the proof. But of course, yesterday, if you had to go by social media, Twitter was having a field day with a lot of people, politicians as well as ordinary citizens, saying, you know, brown envelopes changed hands. You know, how did the ANC get this right? But we don't know that. So this is all complete speculation, but it didn't stop people speculating.
Were they unmarked bills?
The thing is that, and I think from, I'm sure a lot of analysts have said this, is after getting such a beating in all the other metros, I do think the ANC kind of said to each other, to themselves, listen, we have to get Itakwini. I mean, can you imagine if it had all, every card had fallen? So this was their ace. That was a joke. And so, I mean, how they got this right, I'm not sure. The Ubuntu Congress, ABC's Pilani Mavundla, who's also now been elected deputy mayor, he was apparently part of cobbling together all these myriad parties, those tiny ones. Each had one seat, I think. I think there were like 14 of these parties, each with one seat, which, when cobbled together, got the ANC over the line. He was given a deputy mayorship, and who knows? I mean, from what I see in the Sowetan, he was once a backer of Jacob Zuma and a founder of, he was a former Jacob Zuma backer, and then obviously founded this party called Ubuntu Batu Congress, which is some tiny little party in KZN. So it's not like he has no connection to it. But of course, this is absolute speculation. Everyone is about to phone in and say that I'm being unfair. Who knows?
Will coalition governing and what's happened in this particular election make people think again about who they vote for?
Well, you know, and I think the other point is, will these coalitions hold? If they've been cobbled together in this form, all of them, I don't feel this is a very stable way to govern.
It's difficult to trust a politician tomorrow.
Exactly.
If you don't see him today.
Yeah, and then moving on to this next one. So I don't know if you've seen...
I haven't seen this happening yet, no.
Obviously, we've got different friends on Facebook. I have a lot of environmental friends.
Yeah, normally you'd sort of pick up five or six of them in any case. But
you
might
not have noticed.
Facebook friends changing to hell with Shell.
Yeah, so obviously in the light of the seismic oil and gas exploration project that is set to kick off on the beautiful Wild Coast on the 1st of December, a lot of environmental activists or people that are have a lot of objections to this exploration, which is obviously in order to try and find oil and gas, are putting up a sort of temporary profile picture on their Twitter and their Facebook, and it is the Shell logo that has been modified, the kind of in a cartoon-like way, which is like giving the middle finger. So that part of the shell in the middle that was, you know, is a little bit higher, it's been changed into like flipping the bird, giving a middle finger. There's also another one which has made the Shell logo look like a skull dripping blood that says Footsack Shell. One of the big hashtags is hashtag go to hell Shell. There have been protests. There was a protest in Cape Town, and I think there are quite a lot of other ones organized. And this is sort of heating up, particularly because the ship that is actually going to make its way to the West Coast to do the research, I think it's called the Amazon Warrior, docked in our harbor this week. And I know DA politicians went to have a look at it and said they're going to do their best to try and stop this. But what a lot of the environmental people are saying is that in 2013, when this project or this research project was passed, the laws were a little bit less strict, or the approach was a little bit less strict. And so maybe they're saying if Shell applied to do the research in 2021, they wouldn't have such an easy time getting permits. But to date, they got the permits back in 2013. They arrived in Cape Town Harbor, I think, over this past weekend, and they're going to be doing a 5-month seismic survey, which people say will threaten marine life on the Wild Coast. They're going to be working in the sea there, kilometers off the coast, over a very large area, and people are saying it's a 6,000 kilometer square area. They're going to be all sorts of things going on there that's going to upset the animal life in the ocean. Aside from the fact that, do we need to be looking for more oil?
For more fossil fuel?
Exactly.
Are we moving away from coal and oil in any case?
I don't understand it.
But I think, you know, in 2013, Shell was probably taking a look also, and I'm not defending Shell here, but I'm thinking, you know, most companies take a very long-term look when you look at fossil fuel. And in a little while, we'll be unpacking the fact that, you know, reducing the coal-fired energy, how is it actually going to impact on South Africa's coal belt communities, those communities living in and around in Imalahleni, in those areas? So, you know, you need to take a long-term look if you actually want to plan these things. And I think Shell at the time was probably saying, okay, what are we going to do, you know, within the next 25 years? I think energy companies look over a much longer period than that, maybe even up to 50 years to 100 years, if you look at coal and coal reserves. Yeah. We have 200 years worth of coal reserves in South Africa. So we can produce coal for the next 200 years.
But do we want to?
But do we want to? I think that's
And the thought of the Transkei, you know, ever being the site of, you know, coal, I mean of oil and gas exploration, or it just breaks my heart.
No, it does. It's a beautiful part of the world. Today's Thanksgiving Day in the United States. We don't have turkeys on our tables today, but
some do.
Butterball's Turkey Hotline, after 40 years, is running its What Thanksgiving Turkey Assistance phone line, and they've even gone onto TikTok.
Yeah, so what this is just an amusing story. I mean, look, Thanksgiving is not something that, you know, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but some South Africans do. You know, it's like Halloween. I mean, we seem to adopt these American holidays. But in America, this particular company, Butterball, and a company called Edelman, have had this for 40 years. They've had, like, they set up a hotline in 1981, and people could phone in and say, oh dear, you know, how long do I have to put my turkey in the oven? It's this big, etc. And they would literally answer those phone calls. But they've realized now, as things have modernized, that the younger people prefer to do it digitally. So they've now gone onto TikTok, where they've got their experts doing these sort of like very short little TikTok videos where you can get helplines. They've also got, you can do it through text, emails, online chats, or through Amazon Alexa's voice-enabled talk line, where I think you can ask a question and you'll get turkey cooking tips. And I just thought it was quite funny because apparently Butterball says 83% of respondents said social media is a great place to get menu inspiration or recipes for Thanksgiving. And 73% have cooked or prepared their meal based on viral food trends from a social media platform. So they realize they better get onto TikTok if they want to keep current, you know, with the younger people of today who are also now cooking turkeys.
Yeah, and the younger people are going to say, is your turkey a TikTok turkey, or is that my turkey TikToking in the oven?
I'm telling you, there's like a future for this.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Everything that we've discussed now with Barbara from the Itakwini Council, and to hell with Shell, as well as your Thanksgiving turkey, which is going TikTok in the oven, is on the site at capetalk.co.za. Also, many of the interviews that we do, or the highlight interviews we do for the day, is also on capetalk.co.za. Very good morning to you. I'm Zane Johnson, in for Lester Kivett, all the way through until 12 o'clock, and it's just gone 20 to 10.